Well, I don't have to tell you guys that the world is full of many, many, many religions. There are five what are considered world religions that you're probably all familiar with, at least in name. Those five world religions are, of course, Christianity, but also Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, and Judaism. Those five are considered the five world religions, mostly because they are larger than in the amount of adherence to those religions than other religions of the world. But those are only five. There are many, many more religions. In fact, if we were to look at a pie graph, which we are doing so right now, it kind of breaks it down for you a little bit on the world population and where they would fall in regards to religious belief. Now, not everybody on the planet has religious beliefs. You see that there are about 14% of the world, according to this graph, that really don't have any particular religion that they belong to or that they would say that they follow after. But the other, religious beliefs are broken down there. You might notice that the Christian faith has the largest slice of the pie. I would not argue that all 33.32% of those that are in the blue are actually born-again believers. This really kind of lumps anybody that would just call themselves a Christian, whether they're actually a Christian or not. Maybe they were raised in a Christian household. Maybe they even come from a denomination that, for the most part, is not very Christian anymore at all. But that's kind of how the world breaks down. Now, here is what I want to do in our approach of this topic tonight. In considering all of the religions of the world, why should we as Christians not only choose the Christian religion to be our faith, but why would we say that we have the right way and all of the other ways are the wrong way? And non-believers will oftentimes come to us as Christians with these certain opinions that they have, that they have built in their objection to the Christian faith. And I'm going to share with you guys tonight five of those opinions that you will probably come across from time to time that people will have, and they will share their opinion with you as an objection or a reason why they think that we Christians are out to lunch or that we're arrogant or what have you. I want to go through the five first, and then we're going to back up and look at each one of these one at a time. The first one is simply this: all religions are the same. Now, there are going to be people out there that are going to say that. Oh, you're a Christian? Well, your religion isn't any different than anybody else's because all religions are the same. They're just different paths that are going to lead to the same God. They're just different roads that people can choose that is ultimately going to lead them to the same destination. Then there's another opinion, and that is this, that all religions are nonsense. There isn't any right religion. They're all baloney. They're all invented by some human being or a group of people that decided to come up with their own belief system or their own religion. There is no God that are behind them. None of them are actually true. In fact, Christopher Hitchens was quoted as saying this: since it is inconceivable that all religions be right, the most reasonable conclusion is that they are all wrong. Then there's another opinion that people have. All religions are basically based on blind faith. That is, that their beliefs really have no evidence or proof to them. They are probably believing what they were told to believe, maybe how they were raised, or parents raised them that way, or their culture was part of that religion. And so there's really no evidence that their religion has any validity to it, no proof at all. It's just what they choose to believe blindly. And then there is the opinion that goes like this: all religions have some truth, but no religion has all the truth. And these are the people that say that I'm just going to pick the parts that I like and leave out the rest. So I'll pick the part of this religion that I agree with and a part of this religion that I agree with, because none of them really have all of the truth, and all of them have good, some good things to say. And so there isn't any one of them that really is the way. And then there is the opinion, Christians are arrogant for thinking that their way is the only way. And I would imagine that some of you have faced that accusation, that people have come against you, not because they are necessarily against the Christian faith per se, it's that they're against the idea of anybody thinking that their way is the one and only way and everybody else is wrong. So those are the five topics that we are going to tackle tonight, which I think will relate to us in a good way, because these, I think, for the most part, are the things that we are going to face when we engage in a non-believing culture. And it's also, I think, some of the questions that even we as Christians sometimes wrestle with ourselves. So we're going to examine these common opinions and evaluate, you know, how valid any one of these objections to the Christian faith would be. So the first one we're going to be looking at is, are all religions the same? I would say this, that they are all the same only to those who have never actually examined them. To make a comment that all religions are the same is usually made by someone who has heard somebody else make that same statement. It's not because they came to that conclusion themselves. It's because they have heard that and they thought, well, that's a good one. And so I'm going to grab a hold of that thought, and all the religions are the same. And there's really no difference, you know, between them. They just have kind of their own way, their own worship style, their own, you know, commandments or whatever it is that they follow. But essentially, they're all lumped together. I will tell you this. I would equate that to somebody sitting in an airport terminal, looking at every plane that is taking off down the runway, and assume that every one of those planes is going to the same destination. Because all of those planes look the same, and they're all going down the same runway, and they're all taking off into the sky the same way, so they must all be going to the same place. That's, you're only going to come to that conclusion from a distance. Anytime you look up close, you're going to find out that none of them are going to the same place. They're all going to different places. This is what Ravi Zacharias had to say. He said, anyone who claims that all religions are the same betrays not only an ignorance of all religions, but also a caricatured view of even the best known ones. What is that sound? I think it's from the iPad. Is anybody? Searching for this iPad?
Well, we know where it is.
Yes, we found it. It's right there. There we go. Thank you, sir. Back to Ravi Zacharias.
Yes, please.
Anyone who claims that all religions are the same betrays not only an ignorance of all religions, but also a caricatured view of even the best known ones. Every religion at its core is exclusive. Some people might think that all religions are basically the same, but you can only say that if you really don't know what all religions are actually teaching. Because if you look at what they are teaching, you find out that they're not even close to being the same, and oftentimes they're the exact opposite of each other. Let me just take you through a few brief differences in beliefs based on, you know, various religions. They'll teach completely different things about, say, the topic of God. There are some religions that believe that there is one God. Christianity believes that there's one God. Judaism believes that there's one God. Islam believes that there's one God. But there are other religions that believe that there are many gods. multitudes of gods. The Greek pantheon was based upon a plethora of gods. Hinduism has millions of gods. And then there are other religions that actually have no god at all. We call Buddhism a religion, but to tell you the truth, Buddhism doesn't even believe that there is a god in the universe. And so we can't agree on whether there's one god, many gods, or no god. And then we have different views about life. Many believe that each of us gets one life, but there are religions that believe that we will have more than one life. Reincarnation. Hinduism believes in reincarnation, that once your life is over, you will come back as something else. And if you've been good, you're going to come back as something better. If you've been bad, you're going to come back as something worse. But this isn't the only life that you've got. We can't agree on eternity. Some religions believe in both heaven and hell, or, you know, whatever their name for those concepts are. Others believe that there is a heaven, but there is really no hell at all. And then others don't really believe that there's a heaven or a hell. So we can't agree on eternity. And we can't agree about Jesus. Some believe that he is Savior and Lord. Others believe that he is just a prophet. And some others just believe that he has no real significance at all. And lastly, we can't agree about salvation. Some faiths believe that we will be saved by our works. If we live a good life and believe the right things, we will be saved. Others believe that no, it's by faith alone. And still others will say, no, it's a combination of the two. You got to have faith, you got to have works. And some are none of the above. Do you guys understand what I'm saying here? People will say all religions are the same. Okay, well then go down the list of the main things about religions. Do they think the same about God? No, they don't. Do they think the same about life? No, they don't. Do they think the same about eternity? No, they don't. Do they think the same about Jesus? No, they don't. Or salvation? No, they don't. And we could go on with a greater list than that, but I think that paints the picture, right? That not all religions are the same. And because not all religions are the same, opposite beliefs are possible, but opposite truths are not possible. Now, this is important for you guys to understand, because all around the world, we have people that believe different things. And opposite beliefs are possible because that happens all of the time. We see that in the world religions. There are some religions that believe the exact opposite from another religion. But opposite truths are not possible. You can't have two different systems that believe opposite things and both of them be absolutely true. Because opposite truths cannot exist. If one is true, that makes the other false. Okay? So not all religions are the same. And if opposite truths are not possible, therefore, if one religion is true, the others cannot be true. Now, this is the logical conclusion to what I'm trying to illustrate in this point. That, yes, people can believe different things, but not everything can be true. And if we find that there is one religion that speaks the truth and is consistent in the truth that it speaks, it makes any religion that is the opposite or teaches the opposite of that religion a false religion. Okay? So let's go on to the next one. Are all religions nonsense? Now, there are some people that believe that there isn't any right religion. Is that possible that all religions are complete nonsense? I will tell you, it absolutely is possible. It is possible that there isn't a single religion on the planet that is the correct religion. They can't all be right, but I will say that they can all be wrong. That means that none of them have the right way. But before we come to that conclusion, we should at least be able to examine the validity of any religion, to put it to the test, to see if what it teaches is worth believing in. Is there enough evidence for a religion to say, yes, that belief system is a true belief system. And so we have to ask a couple questions. Those questions would be this: is there evidence that proves or disproves their claims? And the second question, do their beliefs defy logic and reason, or do their beliefs line up with things that are logical and reasonable? So let's put that to the test on some of the world religions right now. Let me give you a few examples. Are their writings historically accurate? Now, if a religion is true and they have a book that they follow, their book oftentimes will be speaking about people, places, events that have taken place in the past that involved their religion, involved their God, and so forth like that. Are their writings historically accurate? Well, if you were to read the Quran, which maybe some of you have, you would realize that, you know, even the Quran speaks about Jesus. Did you know that? Jesus is spoken about in the Quran, and it says some specific things about Jesus. It says that Jesus is the Messiah, that he was born of a virgin, that he performed miracles, but he is not God, he is not the Son of God, and he was not crucified. So we can put that to the test. They say some things that we would agree with as Christians about Jesus, that he was born of a virgin, that he worked miracles, and so forth. But we surely wouldn't agree with the fact that they claim that he was not crucified. So we would need to put that to the test. So are we as Christians right, or are they right when it comes to Jesus being crucified? Well, if we look at history outside of their writings and our writings, we find that there are some historians that wrote about a man named Jesus who was living during the first century in Israel and gained a following and was sentenced to death and was crucified. So history outside of the Bible or the Quran actually has references to a man named Jesus who was crucified. So which book actually is valid when it comes to that history? Not the Quran, but the Bible. Then we could read the Book of Mormon, if you want to. Joseph Smith, who authored the Book of Mormon, he writes extensively about peoples that had populated America centuries before America was the United States of America. They were the Nephites and the Lamanites. And the Book of Mormon talks at length about the Nephites and the Lamanites. Interestingly enough, no archaeological evidence has ever been found of any culture or civilization known as the Nephites or the Lamanites. So he wrote about people that we have no evidence that existed whatsoever. That doesn't sound like that's very, very historically accurate. We could ask another question: are their prophets 100% accurate? I tell you what, if a prophet is speaking on behalf of God, that prophet should be pretty accurate in what they say. And a prophet, in part, not only is speaking on God's behalf, but also prophesies, which means speaks of things that have not yet happened that are to happen in the future. It was a way of authenticating whether the prophet was actually speaking on behalf of God or not. Because God, according to the Bible, would authenticate the message through the prophet by allowing the prophet to foretell a future event. So when those future events actually happen, we could go, wow, man, nobody could know that unless God revealed it to him. That guy was dead on, and he was 100% accurate. So God must be speaking to him. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 18 actually gives that as criteria to authenticate a prophet. So in these various religions, many of them, not all of them, but some of them have prophets that lived in the past and would speak on behalf of God. Joseph Smith claims that God appeared to him and revealed things to him. Well, how do we know if God really did reveal things to him? How do we know that Joseph Smith isn't just talking off the top of his head or making things up? How do we know if it's authentic? Did the things that he prophesied actually come true? What we find, if you do some research, is that a lot of the things that he prophesied failed, did not actually come about. Same thing with the Jehovah's Witnesses. They made predictions that have failed. They set dates for the return of Christ that came and went, and Jesus did not return. And so they prophesied things that did not happen. What we do, though, find in the Bible when we look at the prophets, we find the accuracy of the things that they prophesied of future events, many of which have already happened. There's still events that were prophesied that have yet to take place in the future, in the end times, before the return of Christ. But what we find, you look at the prophecies of Isaiah, you look at the prophecies of Daniel, you look at the things that Jeremiah said and some of the other prophets, accurate in the things that they predicted. So many of those things have already taken place, and some are still yet future. And then another thing that we need to ask is, are their beliefs logical? That doesn't necessarily mean that we can understand everything that is. We don't even understand everything that is in the Bible. What I'm asking is this: are their beliefs logical? For example, in Hinduism, they are polytheistic. That means that they believe in many, 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 many gods, right? This honestly is illogical if you consider what the definition of God is. The definition of God should at least include that God is eternal, has existed forever, and is an all-powerful being. But you consider those deities within Hinduism, they don't qualify for that. And the reason that they can't qualify for that is because you can only have one eternal, all-powerful being. You can't have two all-powerful beings that exist because one is going to be more powerful than the other one. And you can't have two eternal beings either. There's only one being that can actually be eternal that has started everything else. That is what logic would share with us. And so there are times that a religion, what they say happened, we find no evidence that it actually happened. When they state their beliefs, we find some things that don't match reason or are illogical, which cause us a problem in that regard. But what about Christianity? Let's talk about that for a minute. Is the Bible historically accurate? Archaeologists have, you know, for decades been in Israel uncovering all over the nation. Ancient, you know, buildings, ancient stones that have been carved in, other artifacts that they have found in throughout the nation. I was there in Israel with a team that came from our church about 2 years ago, just over 2 years ago. And that's one of the most amazing things to me in being in Israel, not just being in the places that, you know, Jesus walked and so forth, but to see place after place that they have uncovered, that they say, okay, we found this place. We found it, you know, in 1963, and it was uncovered. And as we uncovered, you know, these different stones, what we found is some carvings in certain stones that told us exactly what this place was. And they would, you know, be basically explaining to us that every time we dig something up, we find that this is a place that was talked about in the Bible. And it makes references to certain individuals that are found written about in the Bible, and sometimes even events that took place in the Bible. So the Bible is historically accurate. Are the biblical prophets 100% accurate? So far, so good. Okay, still more to go, but so far, so good. And is the Christian belief logical? I want to, rather than take up the time right now, which we don't have because I'm trying to make this as concise as possible. I want to make a book reference for those of you guys that would be interested in looking at this topic. William Lane Craig, who is a Christian apologist, that is that he speaks and writes extensively in defense of the Christian faith. He wrote a book called Reasonable Faith. So if you want to look into the validity of the Christian faith, this would be a book that I would definitely recommend, okay? Let me go on to the next opinion that people often have. Are all religions really based on blind faith? Now, that is a common thing, and not just an accusation against Christians. This is an accusation that's made against pretty much anybody that believes in, you know, eternity, in heaven and hell and God. Those that are atheists are very quick to jump on any person who believes anything that is supernatural, saying that, you know, your faith is simply a blind belief. You have no evidence. You have no proof whatsoever for the things that you say that you believe. And so I don't really know why it is that you believe that. So we need to ask ourselves, are all religions based on blind faith? And in particular, is Christianity based on blind faith? This is what blind faith basically means. A firm belief in something for which there is no proof. So it's believing something, but you have no basis for that belief. You have no evidence and no proof. And yet you believe it anyways. So Muhammad, who is the founder of Islam, he claimed to receive direct revelation from Allah, but provided no real evidence to validate the claim. So is there any real reason to believe Muhammad's claim if there isn't really any way to prove whether God actually spoke to him or not? It's very questionable because basically you are putting your total confidence in a guy who says, God talked to me, but you don't have any proof whether God talked to him or not. The same thing goes with Joseph Smith, with the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints, the Mormons. He claimed to receive a direct revelation from God, but provided no evidence to validate the claim. So he believes that God appeared to him and he asked God, what is the right church for me to join? And God told him, none of them. They're all wrong. I'm going to start over with you, and I'm going to show some things to you. And God started speaking to him according to him. And that's where the Mormon church came from. Now, Mormonism will share a lot of similarities to Christianity because they use the Bible and they speak about Jesus and, you know, the Holy Spirit and many Christian things. But his version is a complete left turn from what the Bible actually is saying. And they actually place greater authority upon the Book of Mormon and the Pearl of Great Price and Doctrine and Covenants, their other books, because those books will help you understand the Bible better. So should we believe him? If there's really no evidence or proof to back up whether we should believe him? All religions are accused of blind faith, but I want to argue with you that Christianity is not based on blind faith. Why do I say that? Because not even the Bible itself expects us to believe blindly. It shows us proof. Let me give you some areas in the Bible that do exactly that. Jesus himself pointed to the evidence. In John chapter 2, verse 18 and 19, it's in the middle of a conversation that Jesus is having with some religious leaders, but they basically pose this question to him. Why should we believe you? Why should we believe in you? And Jesus' response essentially was this: you destroy me, and I will raise myself back up in 3 days. Now, he didn't use those words. What he said is, you destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it back up. Now, his hearers thought he was talking about the temple in Jerusalem, the place of worship. He wasn't talking about that temple. He was talking about the temple of his body. You destroy my body, I will 3 days later raise it up. In other words, what Jesus was saying is, you want evidence? This will be the evidence. A dead man's going to come back to life 3 days after he died. And that person is me. That's why you should believe me. Not only that, though, we have in the book of Acts, the apostles pointed to evidence. Peter, in his very first sermon that he ever preached, included these words, Acts 2:22. People of Israel, listen. God publicly endorsed Jesus by doing powerful miracles, wonders, and signs through him, as you well know. He was actually talking to people that were there when Jesus did his miraculous works. Many of his hearers at the time saw Jesus do miracles. And so what he's appealing to is God endorsed Jesus by having Jesus do miraculous things so that we would know that he isn't just talking off the top of his head. He's not just making up stuff. God validated Jesus by the miracles that he performed. That's backed up in the book of Hebrews as well. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4, it says, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders and various miracles. In other words, God wasn't calling us to believe blindly. He was giving us evidence so that we would know that it was actually him working in and through Jesus, working in and through the prophets of the Old Testament and so forth. One last one I'll make mention of, and that's found in Romans chapter 1. But it points to the evidence of creation. In verse 20, it says, for ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. So what I'm trying to explain to you guys is this, is that does blind faith exist? Yeah, it does. It may be some of the other religions, but we can't include Christianity in that blind faith position because we're not called to a blind faith. We're called to an intelligent faith. Even the Bible, Jesus, the apostles, called us to look at the evidence, and that's what we ought to be able to do. Another argument or opinion that people have is that all religions have some truth, but not all truth. And usually the people that make mention of this think that what they are is a little bit wiser in that what they're going to do is they're going to pick all of the best parts of all of the other religions that are out there and put it together in one thought process. So their thought is that, okay, no religion is the right religion. All religions have some good things to say, so I'm going to pick and choose all of those good things, and I'm going to hold on to those things, and that's going to be my belief system. Well, first of all, I want to say this, that if your God lets you pick and choose whatever you want to believe, then your God is actually you. If you are picking and choosing what you want to believe and holding on to that, it isn't God that you're following. You have made yourself God because you are the determiner on what is good to believe and what is good to follow. So you've made yourself your own God. But that's another matter. This is what I really want us to talk about in regards to all religions having some truth and not all truth. You probably have heard the old fable about the six blind men who encountered an elephant. And each of them approached the elephant from a different vantage point and grabbed a hold of the elephant in a different part and came to a conclusion about the elephant. So one of them walked up and grabbed a hold of the elephant's tusk, and he felt the tusk, and he concluded that the elephant is pretty much a spear. And another one grabbed a hold of the trunk. And as he felt the elephant's trunk, he said, no, the elephant is pretty much like a snake. And then another came up to the side of the elephant and felt the huge side of the elephant and said, no, the elephant is pretty much kind of like a wall. And another was grabbing the elephant by the leg and said, no, I think the elephant is like a tree. And Another was behind the elephant and grabbed a hold of his tail and said, "No, I think the elephant is kind of like a rope." Each of them came to their own conclusion about what they thought the elephant was actually like. And so the fable is basically saying that everybody who's looking according to their own opinion or own approach, you know, may come to the wrong conclusion. But here is the problem with that idea. First of all, it assumes that all religions are man-made beliefs made by blind men who have never seen God. That's basically what it's concluding. Is it's equating the Christians and the Muslims and the Jews and the Hindus and the Buddhists and all people of all of the different religions, that they're all coming to their own conclusions because, in part, they're just simply blind men who have never seen God, but they are coming to their own conclusions about who God is or what God is actually like. Secondly, it assumes that God has not actually revealed himself. Now, let me explain that here by taking us back to the elephant story, okay? All of the blind men, we would conclude, are wrong because they could not actually see the elephant. Do you and I see the elephant?
Yep.
Yes, we do. We can see the elephant. And so we can tell one of the men, an elephant is not like a spear. We can tell another guy the elephant is not like a tree or not like a rope or not like a wall or not like a snake, because we can see the elephant. And so we know that they are wrong because we can see. The reason that the blind men are wrong is because they can't see, and they're coming to their own conclusions because they don't actually see the elephant. But those who can see will know exactly what an elephant is and know that the blind men are wrong. Now, how does that relate to what we're talking about here in regards to God or in regards to religion? You cannot know what is wrong unless you know what is right. None of us can claim that something is wrong unless we know what is right, something to compare it to. That being said, all of humanity would be blind to God or who God is, unless God reveals himself. If God did not reveal himself to humanity in any way, shape, or form, we would just be like the blind men groping around trying to figure out what's really out there. We would come up with our own solutions, our own ideas of where we came from, where we're going, what's the best path to follow and so forth like that. We would just be a blind person. Unless God has revealed himself. Unless God has opened our eyes so that we can see the elephant. You understand what I'm saying? Because if God has opened our eyes so that we can see the elephant, then we would know what is right and what is wrong. So has God revealed himself? That's the big question. Are all religions just blind people that are groping around trying to figure out what they believe is the right way and the right perspective to have and live by? Or has God actually opened eyes to reveal himself as he is so that we could actually know that there is a God and know a false God when we hear about a false God? And know a true way, but know a false way when we hear about a false way. Has God revealed himself? Well, the Bible says that he has. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, Jesus. So basically, that is God opening our eyes to say, this is who I am. Also, it says in John chapter 1, verse 18, no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. So according to the Bible, God has opened eyes. He's made himself known to us so that we can see the elephant, or we can see what is actually true. Now, that is why Christians are called arrogant, because we say that God has revealed himself to us, and we now know who and what is the right way and who is the right God. And that brings us to the last opinion that people often have, and that is this: Christians are arrogant for thinking that their way is the only way. So we need to ask ourselves, are we arrogant? Are we arrogant for saying that we have the truth and nobody else has the truth? We're walking in the right way and nobody else is walking in the right way. Well, first of all, let me say this, is we're not arrogant because we are only repeating what Jesus said. Christianity being the only way was not our idea. That was not our concept. That isn't something that we determined. That is actually something that Jesus said in John 14:6, when he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now, we would be arrogant if we came up with that, but we didn't come up with that. We are only believing what Jesus said. We believe that Jesus spoke the truth. And so if anybody wants to accuse somebody of being arrogant, we have to accuse Jesus of being arrogant, because he's the one that made that statement. But honestly, that statement is only an arrogant statement if it's not true. Because if it is true, then he was just simply pointing people to the way that they could be saved, that they could be rescued. Now, do we have reason to believe that Jesus actually spoke the truth? I will give you three reasons, and we actually covered this in one of our earlier Reasons to Believe sessions. Three ways that God was putting his stamp of approval on Jesus, saying, "This truly is my son." He's not just spouting off words, claiming to be something that he's not. How did God do that? First of all, when Jesus came, he fulfilled prophecy. I'm not just talking about vague things like, hey, the prophets of old said, hey, one day there's going to be a guy coming, he's going to do some pretty impressive stuff, and you ought to follow him. No. It gave very specific things, like Isaiah prophesying where he would be born. Zechariah prophesying that he would ride on a donkey into the city of Jerusalem. And prophesying that when he hung on a cross, that the people that were there would cast lots for his clothes to determine who gets to keep his stuff. Very specific things that were prophesied hundreds of years before Jesus was ever born in Bethlehem. Why did God do that? So that we would know that when it happened, that's the guy. And we could go through an extensive list of other prophecies that were very specific in the Old Testament given by the prophets, so that we would know that when he came and he fulfilled those prophecies, that he was the guy. Secondly, that he would work miracles. A lot of people questioned Jesus because he said some very exclusive things when he was walking on this earth. And they, like the Pharisees, said, "Why should we believe you?" Well, his miracles were part of the way to authenticate that. Don't just believe him blindly. Look at what he was doing. Even when John the Baptist was doubting, when John the Baptist was in prison, here is a follower of Christ in prison, but he's wondering, is Jesus really the guy or not? So he sends some of his own disciples to Jesus to ask him a question. Are you the guy? Or should we be waiting for somebody else? And on that day, Jesus happened to be performing miracles, healing people that were sick and casting out demons. And then he turned to John's disciples and said, "Go back and tell John what you're seeing today. That people who are sick are healed, that those that are blind receive their sight, that those that are dead are raised back to life." It was his miracles that were the evidence that what he was saying was actually the truth. And then lastly, Jesus would rise again from the dead. God was authenticating it. He was authenticating Jesus. He was authenticating his word so that we would have confidence that when we believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, we're not believing blindly. We're believing because God backed it up with some pretty strong evidence. And if the Bible is true, and we'll finish with this, if the Bible is true, then there is a God. And the God is described in the Bible. The God that is described in the Bible is the actual God. And the way that he is, the way that he operates, and what he expects from you and from me. And what God said in the Bible is true. And that mankind is sinful and lost and in need of a Savior. And that Jesus is the only way to be saved. That being said, and I know that tonight is on what about other religions, if we can come to that conclusion in our hearts, this is what we know, that any other religion that is contrary to these Christian beliefs is a false religion. That's why we have confidence in our Christian faith. Yeah, there's other religions out there. There's people that worship in different ways, but we have to ask ourselves, is their way the right way? Is our way the right way? Is there validity to their way, or is there more validity to our way? And if we come to the conclusion that, you know, the Christianity is the one that seems to have the most evidence for it, then we're walking in the right path. Amen?